The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is. And it is a Thursday. Welcome to it. Craziness abounding out there, and I thought, you know, the further removed we were able to get from Trump in the White House, the less insane it'll be. But I guess the insanity's got to play itself out first. And oh boy, there is a high crazy quotient in the Republican Party. Go figure. All eyes today seem to be focused on Marjorie Taylor Greene. It never should have gotten to this point. Let me just say that right now. Kevin McCarthy, the House minority leader, who wants so badly to be Speaker of the House, knocking on wood laminate, that hasn't happened yet. The same guy who, do I have the clip up from yesterday? Let me share with you what Kevin McCarthy said after the insurrection, which made a lot of us think, okay, well, maybe things will get better now. Hold on. For some reason, I've got audio coming through here. This is muted. This is muted. This is muted. Okay. Now? Good. Okay. So this is Kevin McCarthy just a couple of days after the Capitol was stormed on the floor of the House.
That doesn't mean the president is free from fault.
No.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters.
Yes, he does.
He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility, quell the brewing unrest, and ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
Yeah, right. Okay, so he made sense. Except what a difference a week makes. Because today, that same guy, Kevin McCarthy, is in Florida. He is at Mar-a-Lago today. Some say kissing Donald Trump's ring. I say trying to suck his mushroom dick. Because these people have no morals, no scruples, no conscience, no spine. So this is what you're dealing with the Republican Party. Kevin McCarthy knew what happened. He was there on the 6th in D.C. in the Capitol. He knew how close they came to getting killed. And many of them would have been killed if not for people like Goodman, Eugene Goodman, I think was his name, the Capitol police officer who led the insurrectionists away from the door to the Senate and took them in the other direction, who is now a member of the assistant sergeant at arms in the House or the Senate. I mean, he got promoted. Good for him. But this, I'm sorry, these people have no spines. So, we keep hearing about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, Kevin McCarthy never should have sat her. And the fact that he did seat her, even though it's her history is out there for anyone to see, he did anyway. And not only that, yesterday he gave her a plum committee assignment. She now sits on the Education and Commerce Committee. The Education Committee, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that piece of shit. There's video circulating today of her following David Hogg, one of the survivors of the Parkland Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting, that, by the way, we're coming up on the anniversary because it was Valentine's Day. And lest you forget, I live in Coral Springs, Florida. It's our sister city. We're right next door. We share a police department. So it was Coral Springs police who went to the school when the shooting happened. And she says it's a false flag. And she followed David Hogg down the street, chasing after him It's reprehensible what she did. And I'm not going to play that because you've seen it. But I think you've seen it, right? You guys have seen it, yes? She's following him down the street. He was in D.C. to meet with some congressman. This was just a couple of months after the shooting. It was not too long after the shooting. She was convinced it was a false flag operation, as was Newtown. Amazing. And this woman is sitting in Congress and on the Education Committee saying that the school shootings don't happen. They're false flags. Well, last night, a few people, including my husband, sent me a tweet from somebody named Meredith Idis at WRCB. I think that's a television station in Georgia, who were out covering Marjorie's town hall meeting. Well, the reporter made the fatal error of trying to ask the congresswoman a question at an event that's billed as a town hall meeting. So let me just play for. I'm going to play from Meredith Aldis's Twitter stream, and what this says is, watch. This is the moment Representative Green's office says our team, quote, caused a disturbance by asking a question, just as others who were attending the town hall had done previously. You can hear the deputy say my team would be charged with criminal trespass if they didn't leave.
So we're already equal here in this country. That's the beautiful thing about America. We don't have to pass more laws and put more things in place like the 1619.
She's bad-mouthing the 1619.
And for the left to tell us that we are suffering in this country is completely wrong. Actually, it's the third world countries.
All right. Maybe it was cued in. Maybe I didn't play the beginning of it where... Oh, here it is. Okay, so here... I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had already played some of it. All right, so here she is, and you'll see the people surrounding her.
The videos and
here you
the
go.
Posts that...
I'm talking to my constituents. We're not having a press... This is a liberal position.
Okay, I'll come back.
Online, mainland purchases...
Okay, so the reporter tries to ask a question. Marjorie Taylor Greene says, this is for constituents. We're not having a press thing. And then these men surround her.
As far as gun control, such as gun buybacks.
And you can't really hear it, but basically what happens is they tell her that you need to leave. If you don't leave, you'll be arrested and charged with criminal trespass. And so this is everywhere today. This is in the Washington Post. It's all over. The wires everywhere. And I tweeted back to this woman, I got you beat. It was April 26th, 2011. So we're coming up on a 10-year anniversary. April 26th, 2011. Let me give you a little context here because it's a long story. So settle in. This is a good one, though. Air America Radio had gone off the air. It was already a year and a half off the air. That time I was doing my show here. I had it at radioornot.com instead of NicoleSandler.com, but nothing much has changed in the last 10 years. I'm still here doing my thing. But I was also the regular guest host for Randy Rhodes, who was on the premiere. She was syndicated by Clear Channel Premiere, and she was in the studio up in West Palm Beach. So I would drive up there on the days that I needed to fill in for her to do her show. And on that day, I was guest hosting for Randy. And I did it. It was when what happened is the Republicans had just taken back control of the House. Obama was president, right? And the 2010 election wave came in and put in all these teabaggers, right? It was the Tea Party thing. It wasn't the QAnon crazies. It was the teabagger crazies. And in my district here in South Florida, the idiots here elected Alan West to Congress in 2010. Alan West, in case you don't remember, he is the former military guy who should have been in a military prison for war crimes, because what he did is he was drummed out. He was thrown out of the military, but he wasn't arrested or prosecuted. He did a mock execution on an Iraqi prisoner put the guy's head in a barrel of sand. I guess they use it like to clean guns or something, and fired his gun into the barrel next to this guy's head to try to get a confession out of him or information out of him that he didn't have. Alan West had the wrong guy, and he tortured this prisoner. Sorry, at that time, you know, we allegedly don't do that. So Alan West is a piece of shit, certifiable piece of shit. And Paul Ryan, who was then Speaker of the House, had put up a bill to privatize Medicare. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's the gist of it. They were going to privatize Medicare. So I'm on the air for Randy Rhodes that day, and there a lot of these town halls were going on, and I actually had Dave Johnson, who's still a regular on this program, on with me that day to talk about what should, you know, if people go to town hall meetings, what should they ask? What should we be pushing? What should we be saying? And so I said, tonight, I'm going to the town hall meeting that my congressman is having in Fort Lauderdale at the Calvary Chapel. Yeah, that's a whole other story that we can get into one of these days. Shouldn't have been there. Wasn't in the district. It is a church that does political talk from the stage, and whose preacher, by the way, Pastor Bob, was thrown out a year or so later because he was fucking around on his wife. But again, that's a story for another day. That's the Calvary Chapel, one of the big super churches, mega churches here in South Florida. And Pastor Bob, or Boob, as I called him, thunderous applause when he came out on stage as this town hall meeting opened up. And I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, that's Pastor Bob. Great. And he went on to sing the praises of Alan West. And then Alan West comes out. All right. So I had been on the air, right? People knew I was coming, so they were prepared for me. And at these town halls that Alan West was holding, all the ones up until that day, people were allowed to go up to the microphone, constituents, and ask the congressman a question. It's a town hall meeting. That's how town hall meetings work, or how they're supposed to. So, but I get there, and they're handing out index cards. And I said, what's this for? And they said, well, if you have a question, you need to write it down. They knew I was coming. So I wrote down my question knowing, well, this is not going to, you know, they're never going to call on me. So I'm sitting in the back. David, at the time, was my boyfriend, and he was with me. He was getting so infuriated. He's like, I can't sit here for this. He's listening to Pastor Boob and getting more and more angry. I said, then just go. There was a listener who heard me on the air. She had two seats up front in like the third row, right in front of the stage, right behind Alan West's wife, by the way. And she saved me a seat. So I figured, well, if David's leaving, I'll go up front and sit with this woman. And I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. I can picture her. I could see her, but I'm sorry. I don't remember her name. So I go up there and sit with her. And Alan West's wife is just turning around and just shooting daggers from her eyes at me, because I'm talking to the woman I'm sitting with about the things that Alan West is saying. I was being myself, you know, not a little snarky, a little bit, but I wasn't making a scene or anything. And then they get to the question about Medicare, and it wasn't quite the question I wanted to ask. I'm going to play for you some video. Actually, this is Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks, and I also have video of him because at that time he was also on MSNBC, and he covered what happened, what happened to me, what they did to me. So let me bring this up, and I had it queued in. I thought, give me 1 second. Okay, so it's about the 2 minute mark. I wanted to, oh, okay. So here's the beginning. You'll hear my question. So here's Cenk. Let me back it up. Let me back it up just a second so you can hear his setup. All right, here you go.
Talk show host, and she was tired of Alan West's nonsense pre-screened questions and his canned answers.
Yes, I was.
This is a guy who actually ran on transparency. Yeah. And then when it comes to an actual town hall event, he doesn't want to give transparency. He wants to do it his way, where he manufactures the whole thing. She gets a little frustrated by it. Let's watch what unfolded there in clip.
This is what happened.
Away from the fee for service that we have in Medicaid, which lends itself to a lot of fraud, a lot of waste, and a lot of abuse. We're talking about a defined contribution. We're talking about putting the American citizen in charge of their health care.
Sorry about the camera work.
We're talking about bringing in competition and free market solutions so that we can help.
No, this is a town hall meeting. Wait a minute. It's a town hall meeting. A town hall meeting means back and forth. I want to know how a profit motive makes Medicare more efficient. How is a 75-year-old who's obese with high blood pressure going to get insurance?
I was amazed at the speed.
So that happened. Listen to Cenk.
She was arrested.
Yes, it was.
How long did that question take? It's not like she wouldn't stop. It's not like she was going on and on for 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
All right. I'm going to pull forward a little bit, because that was the video I shot. I was surrounded by these plainclothes people and then a Fort Lauderdale policeman. A Fort Lauderdale cop comes up to me and starts pushing me around. And so someone else was shooting this video when we were out in the hallway, when I actually got arrested. So here's what happened.
Why is she being arrested? So now if we ask a question at a town hall event in a democracy, we get arrested? That's insanity. Let's watch how the rest of it
unfolded. Yeah, let's watch.
I'm talking to the media. Can I get your name and badge number, please? Excuse me.
Whatever you need to do. You need to leave.
I'm out of here. Get your hand off of me.
He was pushing me.
Leave. Get your hand off.
Because I told him to get his hand off of me.
Very good. Do not turn around. Keep your hands behind your back.
Unreal, right?
Getting this David, will you take my camera, please?
Yeah. Sir, stay over there, please.
Can I ask you what you're arresting her for?
Yes,
sir, can I ask you what you are arresting her for?
After warning, sir.
What? Trespass after warning?
I want your hands off my bag. Please give it to him. That's my boyfriend.
You don't have to say so right now.
Oh, I don't have to say so.
No, ma'am.
I hope there's media here and you're getting all of this. I'm a constituent of Congressman West, and I came to a town hall meeting where I thought you were allowed to have back and forth.
Why did you feel you had to interrupt him and be rude?
I wanted to ask a follow-up to his question. I wasn't being rude, sir.
But you were before he even answered the question. You were yelling out. I think you're harassing his wife.
No, I wasn't. She was harassing me.
How so?
She grabbed my camera. I'm not talking to you.
So that happened.
Now being rude.
Okay. So they arrested me, right? You saw. Because he kept pushing me and I turned around. I said, get your hands off of me. He said, you're under arrest. David asks, what for? Trespass after warning? There was no warning. But they take me into custody. First, I'm sitting in the back seat of the goddamn cop car outside of the arena for about an hour until the damn town hall meeting ended. Alan West walks out. He comes and stands right by the car that I'm seated in the back seat with my hands handcuffed behind my back, no less, and says, I hope she has a nice night. They took me to jail, booked me. At some point, after I was finally booked, hours later, I'm able to call David. By this time, it's like 1, 2 a.m., right? Allison was here, but at that time, she was only 11, right? I mean, this was 10 years ago. And so we were here at David's house. I wasn't even living here at the time. I was still living down in Miami. But Allison was here with David at the house. He came home out to tell her that I was arrested. When I was finally given the opportunity to make a phone call, I called David. My bond is $25. So he comes to pay it. And I'm thinking, all right, I'll be out of here in an hour or two. Well, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm called with a batch of people to be taken upstairs. And they say, grab a blanket, grab a pillow. And believe me, they were not blankets and pillows. And brought, and I said, no, this my boyfriend is bailing me out. And the woman's like, yeah, right. No, you'll be here for a while. Get a blanket and a pillow and follow me. So I'm taken to the cell block. It's a cell block. And it's astounding. I'm taken to the cell block, and it was just a clusterfuck. I was put in a room with, it's meant for two people. There were bunk beds, but there were three of us in this little cubbyhole with these, look like, gym mats that kids do gymnastics on at school. That's what we're sleeping on. I have restless leg syndrome. So, of course, at this time, when I'm trying to sit down, my legs start acting up. So I have to get up and walk around the cell because I can't even sit still and I didn't have my medication. At 4 a.m, they come in to wake us up. I was already awake. And they give us breakfast of some sort at 4 a.m, right? Then they send us back to our cubbies. At about 7, they come in and call a bunch of people to go before the magistrate. Well, I was left in a handful of people behind because my bond had already been posted because David got there at like 3 a.m. to bail me out. But would they come and get me? No, of course not. They made me stay. So morning comes. The other women had gone. While they were gone, they put there's about 4 of us, I think, left behind because our bond had already been posted. They decide they're going to clean the cell block. So they put us all in this one cell that was being used to store mattresses. So not only was this a room for two people that they put 4 of us in that was piled to the ceiling with mattresses, they locked us in there while they're cleaning. And then they forgot about us and left us there. So I'm rushing through because Howie's coming up in a few minutes. When it was finally, the guard finally came back in, I'm like, you forgot about us. We're stuck in here. Could you let us out? The other women were already back and hanging out in the big open room, like the day room. If you saw Orange is the New Black, it was a cell block like that. Looked just like it. And they're watching TV and whatever. Finally lets us out. And I say to the guard, you owe us an apology. He's like, what do you mean I owe you an apology? I said, you stuck us in that storage closet and forgot about us for over an hour. There's no air. There's no circulation in there. You owe us an apology. He goes, I got your apology right here. See that cell at the top of the stairs? You got all the room and all the air you want. Go up there. And he stuck me in the cell by myself. So everyone else is out in the day room. I'm in solitary confinement. Hadn't slept all night, and I'm starting to freak out. The door's locked. I'm locked in a jail cell, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, they could do anything they want to me. About an hour later, I hear them come in, and they call my name. And I figure, finally, I'm getting out of here. And I'm screaming through the little opening in the window in the door, I'm in here. I'm in cell number 4. Hello? Nothing. I know the guard told her, She's cool in her heels. Just let her sit there for a while. Because David was there to pick me up. Finally, another few hours go by. I'm looking through the cubby in the thing. I see the TV downstairs. And that's the day that Obama released his long-form birth certificate. And I'm watching through the bars in the window. At that time, I was doing a show at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm not going on the air today. People are wondering where I am. By then, the word had gotten out. If you can look everywhere, Crooks and Liars, all the usual places, they all had it, trying to piece together what had happened. Finally, it's lunchtime. So they come up, my door opens. I'm like, thank you. And the guy hands me a tray and the door's open. I'm like, okay, I walked out of the cell because I had to get out of there, sit on the top step because I was at the top of a flight of steps. And he notices me. He's like, get back in that cell. And I said, please don't make me go back in there. Get back in that cell. I said, sir, please don't make me go back in there. I just want to sit here and eat my lunch. And he said, you're disregarding an order. He came up the stairs, sprayed pepper foam in my eyes. Pepper foam. I screamed like I've never screamed before. I couldn't believe that. I'm thinking they're going to fucking kill me. This is the Broward County Sheriff's Office, the Broward County Jail. David finally comes and gets me. I went on MSNBC that night. He called Randy. It was everywhere. But so, yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene threatened this reporter in Georgia with arrest if, you know, because she tried to ask a question. Well, I tried to ask a question. I was arrested. I was maced. I was manhandled. This was almost 10 years ago. I thought, oh, I've got a lawsuit here. No, I don't. No, I don't. They could do whatever the fuck they want to you, and you have no recourse. ACLU was interested, but they're like, oh, you weren't really hurt. I mean, I had scratches where the handcuffs were and my eyes were burning. But, you know, I wasn't physically hurt. So I didn't have a lawsuit? Something is really, really wrong. David, do you want to add something to this? Come on over. So David's here. So this was my experience. So hi, David.
So my experience was somewhat interesting because I'd never had a girlfriend who'd been arrested before. And I was leaving because Pastor Boob was making me ill.
Yeah.
But I got almost to the door and decided, nope, I can't leave. Something might happen. Mm-hmm. Something just told me. So fortunately, I stayed there and I was able to see what was going on. So as Nicole pointed out, I went down probably about 1:30 or so in the morning to bail her out. And the bail was $25. I handed them $220s. They said, we don't make change. Not that they didn't have change.
Right. They just
we don't make change. So fortunately, I don't know how long later, but it wasn't too long. Someone came walking in and I asked them, do you have any change for a $20 bill? So to make a long story short, they had a 10, a 5, and a 1. And I said, here, keep the rest. And I went back and paid the bail. And I said, okay, you know, I'll wait right here. And they said, oh, no, she's not going to be out for probably 3 or 4 hours. I said, are you kidding me?
Yep.
And they said, nope. So I went home, went to sleep, finally got the call to come get her. So I had to make 2 trips there, plus a trip to Pastor Boob's place. It was just one fun experience for everyone concerned.
Yeah, it was just lovely. So, you know what? Let me share with you. I'll share with you one more very quick video. We'll be just a couple of minutes late for Howie. So here, Cenk Uygur, and it was at the time on MSNBC.
Why is it the Ryan plan?
And here's a little bit of
Medicare
that.
Medicare costs up $34 trillion over a 75-year period. Now, look, I know that's a long time frame, but $34 trillion? What happened? I thought the free market solutions were supposed to lower costs.
I thought so too.
Not dramatically increase them.
Look how young Cenk was. And here we go. Here's my video.
Competition and free market solutions.
You're talking about privatizing it. That's not competition. That's adding a profit motive to it. I want to know how a profit motive makes Medicare more efficient. How is a 75-year-old who's obese with high blood pressure going to get insurance?
Now, that was Nicole Sandler, and she was arrested after asking that question. Now, why was a constituent arrested for asking a question at a town hall event with her congressman? That's crazy. Well, Nicole joins me now to help answer that question. Nicole's also the host of the Nicole Sandler Show at RadioOrNot.com. Nicole, great to have you here, and I'm glad you're now.
Thanks,
and I'm glad you're out of prison. I mean, this is crazy. So first, let's talk about how this town hall was structured so people get a sense of what happened.
Well, they called it a town hall meeting, but when I got there, we were given cards to fill out in order to ask our questions. Sorry, to me, a town hall meeting means constituents get to talk with the congressman and ask questions and have back and forth. If I had known it was going to be a lecture, I probably wouldn't have shown up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I saw the first question that they asked. And, of course, I want the audience to understand this because this is important. If you go to a town hall event, you get to ask your congressman questions. But if they pre-screen the questions, you just get the questions that they like. The first question was, how many czars does Obama have and how much does it cost us? Of course they selected that one because they love that question. So it makes a mockery of the whole town hall. So you said, you thought, all right, I'm going to ask a question anyway. Now, look, Nicole, some people might have thought that's rude. You're not listening to your congressman and how he structured the meeting. But why in the world were you arrested?
Good question. When I was the right after that clip you played, I was told I would have to leave, and a bouncer kind of guy was called over a Fort Lauderdale police officer who grabbed my arm and escorted me out. And as we were leaving, there was some media around me and asking me questions. And I was, I finally stopped, and the police officer kept grabbing me and pushing me. And so I stopped. I turned around. I had a little flip camera with me, and I said, "I want your name and badge number." And he said, "Fine." And then turned around again. He pushed me again, and I, at that point, I screamed at him and I said, "Get your hands off of me!" I think I said it a few times, pretty emphatically. And at that point, he said, "That's it. You're under arrest." I was like, "Really?" I mean, my boyfriend was there. He said, "What are the charges?" And he said, "Trespassing after warning." But I don't know if you've seen the police report. Here, I know, right? I don't know if you've seen the police report, Cenk, but apparently the officer accused me of physically accosting him, said I pushed him repeatedly. The video show clearly shows the opposite, right?
Right. No, look, I saw the video. It's not a matter of witnesses. It's on tape. It's just not, it's not what he said. And the other thing that amazes me is it took about 30 seconds or less for them to come get you. It's not like you were up there giving a lecture for 2 minutes or 5 minutes and not letting anyone else speak. I mean, if you can't ask a 20, 30 second question at a town hall event and be arrested for, what was it, trespassing without
after warning.
You've been warned not to ask questions of your congressman. Nicole, why didn't you listen? What did you think, this was a democracy?
Actually, I did, Cenk. You know, I thought it was a democracy. And the fact that I'm arrested for going to a town hall meeting and trying to ask my congressman a question is absolutely absurd. I've heard what he wants to say. I want my congressman to listen to what I have to say, and that's why I went.
And by the way, did he ever answer your question? Because your question was actually excellent. It was about privatizing Medicare, and that's the real question here. How is that going to affect things? And did he ever give an answer, or since you weren't fawning over him, he doesn't answer those questions?
That's it, I guess. And in fact, I wasn't there, so I don't know if he answered it. But from the other people who were there, they've told me no, of course not. He just went on with his talking points.
Nicole, one other thing. In jail, what did they do? They put you in a cell by yourself, and then you apparently got maced. Why'd you get maced?
Yes, because I dared to challenge the guard, the Broward County Police Department or Broward County Jail guard, who he put a bunch of us in a room, and they forgot about us for over an hour and left us in this sort of storage room. And when we got out, I told him he owed us an apology, and he got all sarcastic. And I said, we're human beings, and we deserve an apology. So he put me in solitary confinement, which plays real weird tricks with your mind. When I finally he asked to be out when they brought lunch, he told me no. But then the door to the cell opened, so I stepped out, sat down on the step right in front of it, and he saw me and started yelling at me to get back in the cell. And I said, "Please, sir, please let me just stay out here." And he said, "Are you disregarding my order?" And I said, "Well, please just let me stay out here." And he sprayed mace.
Right.
I mean, like a lot of mace in my eyes, my mouth, my face, my hair, to the point where they evacuated the whole ward of all the women that were in there because they were, their eyes were burning from it.
Well, Nicole, you should have known not to challenge President Mubarak like that. I mean, Congressman
I'm sorry,
West.
I thought this was America. I thought we were in America. I thought this is what we're supposed to do, right? Democracy is a two-way street.
Exactly. By the way, so the audience knows, eventually, Alan West said that if you support Medicare the way it is now, that it will mean the end of America. You can kiss it goodbye. That means he's simply admitting absolutely.
Yeah, he did. So that's what happened. So, yeah, am I surprised that Marjorie, whatever her name, Taylor Greene, threatened a reporter? No, because I've been there and had that done to me instead of been there, done that. Get it? Got it. Okay, we'll be right back with Howie Klein. Don't go away.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it
all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole Sandler, how are you?
I'm okay. Sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. I was telling the story of my arrest when I went to a town hall meeting to ask my then congressman, the wonderful Alan West, a question. And it was spurred on by the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene, apparently her people threatened a reporter who went to a town hall meeting in Georgia and asked a question, threatened her with arrest because this is for constituents. This is not a press conference. And so she was threatened with arrest. And I said, I did her one better. And just, you know, recounted the whole story. I mean, it'll be 10 years in April. So I haven't told that story in a while. Trip down memory lane.
Doesn't it seem like only yesterday?
Yeah, I can't believe it's been almost 10 years. Like, when I saw that, I'm doing the math. And I said, I think we're coming up on a 10-year anniversary. And sure enough, it was April 26, 2011. My, how time flies when we're living in a police state. It's incredible. So, Howie Klein. Spocko is in the chat room, and he says, question for Howie. Who ran against the Republican that will be indicted for sedition? What happens if they are kicked out? Will there be a new election, or will they be appointed by the governor?
No, and House members don't get appointed. As it turns out, Tommy Tuberman, Tommy Tuber, he was plotting for the overthrow of the government. There were 9 Trumpists who met at Trump's private residence down the street from the White House the day before, and he was one of them. He was the only member of Congress who was there. So if he gets expelled, which I'm sure is not going to happen, the Senate's not going to expel anybody, neither is the House, as a matter of fact, and I'll get to that in a minute. But if Tuberville were to get expelled, then the governor of
Alabama
would appoint a new member. But in the House, there's no appointing under any circumstances. There would have to be a new election.
Special election. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, this heinous piece of shit, I'm surprised that, what's his name, McCarthy, even sat her. Did he have the prerogative not to, saying this is not the kind of person who belongs in Congress? Just look at the things she said, the things she's posted, the ideas
he doesn't have the power to do that. This is what he has the power to do. He, first of all, the thing he really could do and should do is go to Pelosi and say, let's not seat her. Only Pelosi can do that. Pelosi would only do it to a Republican if McCarthy told her that he's on board. So that's one thing. But the thing that would be more likely for him to have been able to do at one time, although I don't think he's got the power inside of his caucus to get away with it at this point, he could have, not given her any committees.
Right.
Now, all work in Congress takes place on committees, and if she were to not have a committee, she would be basically doing nothing except going around and spreading propaganda, which is all she does anyway.
That's right.
So they put her on one of the committees that's considered by Republicans, although not by Democrats, consider this a primo committee.
Yeah, education.
They love it. They want to be on this committee.
Right. Education and commerce.
Labor and education.
Labor and
for
commerce.
For them, it's really a committee. For Republicans, it's considered the bottom of the barrel.
Really?
Now, the problem with her is she wanted to be on the science committee, so she could do an investigation. She thought she was going to be able to do an investigation into all of the Hillary Clinton child sex rings that are on either, I don't know if it was Mars or the other side of the moon. But she had this, she was, you know, believed that this sex ring was going on.
Yeah.
And she thought if she was on the science committee that she could investigate it. So I guess when they got wind of that, they decided to keep her as far away from that as they could. So she's not on the science committee. They just appointed her to the Labor and Education Committee. So there's immediately people who are saying that she needs to be removed from the committee. So both Adam Kinzinger, a Republican,
right,
has asked for that, and several Democrats have also requested that she be removed from that committee. No one wants her on their committees.
Right.
She's obviously, you know, she's a grandstander. She's out to make a big name for herself. Now I'm hearing, I don't know how true it is, but Hank Johnson, who's a congressman from the Atlanta area, put out an email yesterday saying that she was going to run against Warnock, that she's thinking about running against Warnock.
I heard that as well. Yeah. And yeah. If that's true,
she's going to need to raise a lot of money. She isn't wealthy. Corporations don't want anything to do with her. But she's not getting corporate PAC money. So what she would get would be lots and lots of small donations from the psychopaths. And that's what's happening now. It just went up. I just put a post up, and what it's trying to show is that, well, for example, every district has approximately the same number of inhabitants, right? The same number of voters
supposed
in every
to be,
district.
Right.
And yet there are some members of Congress that have hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers, and then there's others that have 1,000.
Right.
And there's a very big difference, and there's a lot of power at stake there, you know, especially for someone like her. And so what she has gone out and done, as well as Lauren Boebert and Mad Cawthorn, they have all gotten very, very large Twitter followings. Now, funny enough, the biggest Twitter following among any of the freshmen is Cori Bush.
She's got
a bigger following than any of them, maybe even than all of them
awesome.
Combined.
Awesome.
I'm not in front of my computer now, so I don't know, but the numbers are all there on the top post
right.
on my blog right now.
Okay.
But the point is that what these people are not there to, they weren't elected to legislate. Their voters they weren't looking for legislation. They were looking for people who were going to act out on their own grievances, who are going to entertain them the way Trump has been entertaining people for over the last 5 years.
Right.
That's what they wanted, and that's why they elected Boebert and Cawthorn and Marjorie
Green.
Taylor Greene
right.
to be entertainers and to give voice to their, you know, insane grievances that they get off Hate Talk Radio and Fox and the Newsmax and all that crap.
Right.
So,
yeah.
In order for her to run for higher office, even for re-election, but definitely if she's going to run if she's going to run for re-election, she doesn't really need to raise that much money, and especially in a district like hers. A district like hers, she could get away with like a couple of hundred grand, literally, and
right.
run,
well,
and she'd win anyway.
That district, Howie, that district was carved out around Atlanta, so it's basically all white. Mostly,
yeah, there's a little piece of it that goes down towards Atlanta, but it's not an Atlanta area district. It's not like suburban Atlanta. You know, there is Paulding County, which is suburban and exurban Atlanta, but that's the only county that's anywhere near Atlanta. And the rest of the district is you know where it is? It's exactly where Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia meet.
I did a little
talk about that in my blog. So anyone who's interested in this specifically, they can go and read it.
Yep.
But the fact is that those three states meet right there at that district. If there was ever a district that should have been, or an area, so it's more than one district, what's his name?
Mo Davis, who was ran
Mo
against...
Brooks.
Oh, Mo Brooks is the crazy, right. Mo Brooks is the crazy guy, yeah.
The district hits all of the people who are all of the districts that hit that area are all represented by insane Republicans. I mean, Mo Brooks, of course, and Marjorie Taylor Greene are outstandingly insane, but they're all pretty crazy. There are none of them that are sane. Anyway, what I tried to make the case was that after the Civil War, they should have disenfranchised all the people in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the states, but just that particular area. It's a really, really toxic area. And they should have said, you know, you want to be able to vote again? We want you to be able to vote again.
Mm-hmm.
Pass a civic test. And if they were disenfranchised in 1866 or 1867, whatever it was, they would still be working on passing the civic test today. They still wouldn't be voting. because they wouldn't have been able to. In any case, the thing is that she could run in her district for a couple of hundred grand, raise 300 grand, she could run, not a problem. To run in the state of Atlanta, I'm sorry, the state of Georgia, with that Atlanta market and the Savannah market, she is going to need millions of dollars. I mean, like $10 million just to get started. And she doesn't have anything like that.
Right.
And she doesn't have a source to get that kind of money. And the establishment, you know, you can't imagine. I mean, the person who's probably the most freaked out about the idea of her running about against Warnock is not Warnock. It's Mitch McConnell. I mean, he's probably like flipping out at the idea.
Sure.
And he would definitely run a more sort of mainstream conservative against her in a primary. He would never, you know, want her anywhere near the Senate. So the point is by carrying on the way these three carry on, they're bringing attention to themselves. Now, a friend of mine, I don't want to say we have a mutual friend, but I know someone who is friends with Cawthorn. And he said Cawthorn has no interest in being in Congress whatsoever, barely interested in being in the Senate. He has one goal and one goal only, President of the United States.
Oh, my God.
He absolutely feels that he's got what it takes to be president. And he defines that as, have you seen him on TV?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So before he's aware that there's a camera on him, he just looks like just an asshole.
Well,
he's just sitting there like a glum potato. As soon as he becomes aware that the camera is pointing towards him, the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life comes on, and he lights up the whole place. He's a very, very handsome guy when he wants to be. When he's not trying to be handsome, he just looks like a potato.
You know, I don't even know if he went to college. If he did attend at all, he never graduated. He's got nothing. He's got no brain.
Nothing. Boebert, by the way.
She
also didn't go to college.
Wow.
She was a high school dropout.
Oh, my God. And these are the best that we can do. This is who we send
the
to
best
Congress.
Those districts can do.
Oh, my God. That's reprehensible.
It's very, very sad. I think the story I wrote about it today, let me see if I can recall. I think it was like meet the superstars.
Meet the
Republican Party.
Yes, you wrote
like that.
You titled it Meet the Republican.
Can we really expel them?
Yes.
I'm sure you're aware that last night, Jimmy Gomez, who I can walk to his district from my house. Jimmy Gomez.
Congressman, Southern California.
He's introducing it today. He said he was going to write a resolution last night to expel Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
And he went through all the reasons why.
Yeah.
And they were good reasons. And, you know, as you know, Cori Bush has long ago, seemed long ago anyway, a month ago, I guess, called also for a formal investigation into the insurrectionists, the ones who aided the insurrection, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Bobbitt and Mayor Cawthorn.
Right.
So the thing is, since I was writing that story last night about Jimmy Gomez, I got in touch with six other members of Congress and all Democrats, and asked them what's the chance that they can really be expelled from the House. And all of them tell me exactly the same thing. I should have just called one, because they all said the exact same thing. They all said there's zero chance,
really?
None whatsoever.
Really?
And the reason for that is because you would need at least 60 Republicans to be able to do it. You can't just do it on a simple majority.
Wow.
And a few of them also told me that they know that there are some Democrats who wouldn't vote for it. So you're going to need more than 60 Republicans to do it. So it's not going to happen. Instead, what's happening is just exactly the opposite of what we would want to happen. She's getting more notoriety, lots of it. She's got this martyr thing going on now. She can go all over Fox anytime she wants now. And all over the other crazy right-wing outlets, gets lots of publicity, and is raising money from it. She's raising lots of money from it. So it's an odd situation. I mean, obviously Jimmy meant well, but what he's doing and what anyone who favors this and is pushing it is doing is making her into more and more of a Republican right-wing superstar with the capacity to raise lots of money and reach lots and lots of people. And, you know, she doesn't think twice about lying, or maybe in her head the things she's saying are true. I mean, this is a woman who literally said that she has proof that Hillary Clinton cut off the face of a child so
and
she could wear that face over her own face.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with someone with that kind of a brain?
In Florida, we have something called the Baker Act, where you can take someone who is certifiably insane and say this person is dangerous and they will be locked up for a period of time. She would be Baker Acted if she were here in Florida, or maybe not, because Alan West
probably
should have been
Baker
Acted, I mean, and he wasn't.
Who's running the show in Florida in terms of the attorney general and the governor and the legislature?
God.
Who's going to Baker Act her?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Yeah, they tell us we're crazy. There was a story the other day. Hold on. I don't know if I still have it here or not. Front page story in the Miami Herald. And of course, I don't. I can't find it now. But it's something along Miami-Dade officials, after Joe Biden did his re-entered the Paris Climate Accord, Miami-Dade elected officials are screaming that they're fighting against any climate mitigation efforts in South Florida, where Miami, when it's a high tide, is underwater. I mean, it's insane. But they're fighting it because Joe Biden wants it.
I don't understand that. I thought that Florida, not Florida, but I thought Miami-Dade Republicans favored climate change amelioration in a big way.
Well, they did, except when the Democrats want it more, I guess, or if the Democrats introduce it. I have all these newspapers hanging out here. I can't find the right one. But yeah, the headline on the front page was something like Miami-Dade officials want to not do any of the climate mitigating efforts because Biden got us back into the Paris Accord.
How weird.
Yeah, it really is. Wait, is this it? No.
I mean, when you're talking about, I mean,
here it is.
You know,
I got it.
Your listeners hear us saying that Miami is underwater at high tide. They probably think that we're being apocryphal.
Not at all.
Understand? They
not
literally
at
underwater.
All. Miami Beach is underwater. Here, I found it. The headline: Miami's GOP digs into fight action on climate change. And then the subheadline reads: Florida Republicans are opposing Joe Biden's climate change plans and his decision to re-enter the Paris Climate Agreement, but aren't offering their own ideas.
Right. Well, of course,
Florida.
That's the story of the last decade.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just on climate, but on almost anything that Americans need their Congress to deal with.
Yes, I know. I know. And so here we have, and now, you know, you got little macro Rubio, who, you know, this is the guy who thought he was running against Donald Trump in 2016 and said when he lost and dropped out of the primary, I'm a private citizen. I'm not running for re-election. Of course, then he ran for re-election and he won. Any way the wind blows, this guy goes. And now, apparently, Ivanka.
Say that so people know who weren't following it. The reason that he won re-election is because Schumer and the DSCC interfered and insisted that a Republican light Democrat run. Patrick Murphy.
And this goes for
totally
full circle. Patrick Murphy. Patrick Murphy, who 2 years earlier unseated Alan West, the idiot who had me arrested. So it's very incestuous, in case you were wondering. So Patrick Murphy, who's a Republican light, who just took his daddy's money and said, all right, I'll be a Democrat, and ran and beat Alan West, and then decided to run for Senate and lost that instead of letting Alan Grayson run for Senate. By the way, speaking of Senate and Marco Rubio being up, and Ivanka apparently is going to primary him, I got an email today.
Well, she may. I mean,
okay.
she, I don't... I, You know, there's a lot of questions there. For one, how do she primary him if her father has a competing party?
Yeah.
I mean, the polling shows that a third of all Republicans would join the Patriot Party
if
Trump started it.
Good.
So where would she run? Would she run as a Patriot Party member, or would she primary him as a Republican?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Good question. Good question. But somebody sent me the page of some guy who is a cosmetologist by trade, who is running against Marco Rubio. And it's like, okay, yeah, he seems to be a progressive, but I'm sorry, he's a cosmetologist. He's not really, you know, and he's from somewhere upstate. So it's not like he's from a big population center. So I'm wondering, are there people already? Because we need not only to unseat Marco Rubio, but a moron death sentence sitting in the governor's mansion in Tallahassee is up as well.
Right. So, yes, so it's a good question. You're asking if Florida has a good, solid
a
Democratic bench.
Yes.
With lots of great people ready to run. Of course,
no.
The answer is no. As you're aware. It's a problem. Now, that we have in Florida one statewide elected official,
Nikki
Consumer
Freed.
Affairs
Agriculture
Commission.
I think Agriculture. Nikki Freed is her name, and she's kind of...
And Nikki's pretty good.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't call her a raging progressive.
No.
But she's a decent person.
She's all right.
And she wants to run. Now, I think what she really wants is to run for governor. But the problem there is that there's that awful blue dog whose father used to be governor. She was in Congress for one or two terms. Terrible, terrible right-wing blue dog. She's really a Republican, but born into a Democratic family, and she calls herself Adele Gwen.
Gwen,
who am I talking about?
You're talking about Gwen Graham.
Right. That's
Bob Graham, her
so
father was great, but she's not.
She wants to run for governor.
Yeah.
So she runs for governor. That would sort of, you know, I don't know. I don't know Nikki. I have friends who know her, and they tell me that she would then probably consider running for the Senate, although she really wants to run for governor.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Graham doesn't want to run for the Senate. I don't know why, but she doesn't.
And she's
her
not a progressive.
Was both governor and a senator.
Her father was great.
Her father tells her what to do. She doesn't have a political mind of her own.
But she's no Bob Graham. She's Gwen. And sorry.
Yeah, she's
liked
terrible.
Him.
She was in the House, so we know what kind of a legislator she is. She was as bad as they come. She was one of the worst of the blue dogs. I mean, it's bad enough to be a blue dog, but she was one of the worst of the blue dogs. She was literally voting more frequently with Republicans than with progressives. Literally, not an expression. Just she was real. That's what she was doing.
Wow.
Terrible, terrible. So she wants to run for governor. Nikki Freed wants to run for governor, but maybe would be persuaded to run for Senate instead. I've been trying to talk Alan Grayson into running for senator. The idea in my head would be, you know, let's actually have a race that's where a conservative is pitted
against
a progressive.
Yeah.
Let's do. Why not do that instead of just having a Democrat who's pretending to be as conservative as the Republican? And you know, I mean, that just doesn't work. And I don't know. I have a suspicion. I mean, Alan is not saying no, but he's not also definitely not saying yes. So I don't know what he's going to do.
What is he doing now?
Really told me.
Is he lawyering again?
I asked him this morning if he's mentioned it to his children,
uh-huh.
since he would. He was, you know, serious about it. I'm sure he would, especially the older kids, and some of whom I know. And he said, no, he hadn't.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's some, you know, one of those crackpot fake journalists from Florida. I can't remember which one, Caputo, or one of those idiots, wrote a bullshit thing that Alan is making calls.
Yeah,
because he's
I read something today.
That's just made up.
Oh,
this is what passes as journalism. Yeah, I think it's Mark Caputo.
Yeah, who's now Politico.
Both locally and in Florida, and he covers Florida for
Politico.
Pretty sure he's the one that's doing it.
Probably.
So he, so when you read this stuff, you're getting misled. He's literally just made it up. He made it up. I was on the phone with Alan when he emailed Alan or texted Alan, emailed Alan, and said, asked for a comment. I said, are you going to run? And Alan's comment literally was, Retire Rubio. That was it. That's all he said. Retire Rubio.
Oh, well, that means you're
that's
running.
The name of an organization that right. Alan and I had just been talking about on the phone. And from that, Retire Rubio, that one phrase, that's all Alan said to the guy. The guy wrote something saying that Alan is making calls about running. Not true.
Anyway, because we
I
live
am
in
trying
the...
to talk Alan into it. Uh-huh. And Alan was the best member of Congress on a lot of levels. I mean, this is a guy who's so skillful that here he was in a Republican-controlled Congress where they had the majority and they could do whatever they wanted. He passed more legislation than anyone else in Congress. Not only more than any Democrat, he passed more legislation than any Republican while he was in Congress. It's unbelievable. That's Alan's way of working across the aisle is the opposite of the Blue Dogs and the New Dems. What he does is he talks to Republicans, sees what they're interested in also, and then says to them, look, let's put this together. This is what my constituents want. This is what your constituents want. This could work for everybody. And that's the way he has been able to pass so much legislation. Pramila Jayapal does the same thing. Ted Lieu does the same thing. That's how you get stuff passed, working across the aisle.
Bernie Sanders does the same thing in the Senate.
Only very, very skillful politicians do that. Most of them most Democrats think the way you work across the aisle is you get a white flag and you surrender and you just do whatever the Republican wants. Literally, that's what they think working across the aisle is. That's what the problem solvers does only 100%. That's what the Blue Dogs do. That's what the New Dems do. That's what they do. That's what they think bipartisan means. Alan knows better than that. Anyway, I would love to see a conflict between, of ideas as the Florida Senate race. It would be amazing.
That would be great.
But Schumer will never allow that. No. Schumer wants another light Democrat,
another
Democrat
Kyrsten Sinema.
Republican light candidate.
He wants another Kyrsten Sinema because she's doing so great for us. Howie Klein.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. All right. We are out of time. This hour just flew by.
No!
Yes!
We didn't even get started yet.
I know. Well, I know, but it's after 6. So we're already late. We've already finished on Progressive Voices. They already dumped out of us. So we're in overtime now. Howie, thank you so much. And by the way, you were talking about the amendments in Grayson and Bernie Sanders, same way in the Senate.
Yep, exactly right.
Yep, he passed more amendments than anybody else.
Same way. Yep. These are people who are not doing this for their careers. These are people who are doing it who take very, very seriously the fact that they're public servants,
exactly.
Civil servants. That's what they are, and they take that seriously, and that's who they are. Both Alan and Bernie.
Yep, gotcha.
A lot
Howie
of similarities
Klein,
between those two.
Everybody,
also a lot of hatred for both of them.
Yes, that's true. Everybody, read Howie at downwithtyranny.com. I'll see you next week, Howie. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And tomorrow, we have a special show tomorrow. Be here. You don't want to miss it. Bye.